Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Care to Read Room, and boy, are you in for a surprise. This is the show that you've been waiting for, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad to be able to join you this evening, and I'd like to say habarigani to my old friends and what's up to my new friends. I am your Molly Wah. I am your mother, too. I am your advisor, and I am your advocate. I am here to serve you whatever you like. I am here to serve you. Like it or not, I am your servant. Once again, good evening, everyone. Thank you so very much for staying the course and going on the journey with OMI as I explore all the benefits of being in a tribe. You know, I don't play when it comes to a topic. I try to delve into every aspect I can think of. As we went through all those schools of thoughts last week, we are now going through the benefits of being in a tribe. I want to show you how everybody and every denomination and every belief system all believe in a tribe. When you see gangs forming, don't get dismayed, don't get alert, because these gangs have been forming ever since Hector was a pup. And they have formed all over Chicago. And they were the biggest gangs ever to set the example for the purpose of gangs. And tribes are nothing but little gangs that are forming. And they're necessary, ladies and gentlemen. They are necessary, and you need to ride with you a posse. And if you're riding alone and you don't have anybody to support you, you need to find a support system. And I'm not just talking and jive today. I'm not shucking and jiving. I'm talking real talk. And ladies and gentlemen, you know I get on my hype when I talk jive. But dig this, and I'm going to tell you just like Nina Simone says, dig this. Okay, we're going to take you all the way back to the 80s with the grassroots, using the terms like dig this and jive talking. Those are some of the things I grew up with. I'm going to give it to you straight from the hip. This topic you don't want to miss, because we're dealing with the spirituality, and you know this is our specialty in this room, spirituality. We're going to be talking about the soul man. Who really has the soul? And is the soul the same thing as a spirit? And did some folk get the gift and others didn't? And can a black person be without soul? Can he be devoid, or she be devoid of spirit or soul? Or does every black person have soul? We're going to be debunking all of those myths. We're going to be talking about what happens when the spirit is still merged in water, and can we possibly be sleepwalking and anesthetized, and that Godhead inside of us could still be laying dormant? What are the possibilities? There are many, ladies and gentlemen, and we intend to explore them during this 1 hour that we're together. I hope you lock in that dial. Lock in that dial at 646-478-0270, and I'm going to get upfront and personal with you, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. So get ready. Stay tuned. Welcome back, family. You're in the room with Priestess Omienka 7, in case you didn't know who you were with. You are in the room of Priestess Omienka 7, and we're about to start our ceremony. So get in position, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind pouring libation with me, being a part of this routine ritual. As we pour libation, we actually are inducing our higher selves, we are affirming our higher selves and speaking to the Godhead that resides within us. And good evening, gods. If you are still present and you still know your gods, why don't you stand up and give me a shout out by calling in that number. We will have our chat rooms open so that you can come in and you can chat if you would like to. We are opening our chat rooms in a minute here. So for those of you who would like to chat, you're welcome to come in, and you can facilitate your own chats. Omi is in the process of going to the talking cure room now. Because we lift up our libation to Oladula Mare, who is the Godhead of this earth, who resides within us. I like to pour libations to Oladula Mare, and I say Ashe. I pour libation to my mother spirit, which is Yamanja, the lady in yellow, and represented by my mother, Clara Jenkins. Ashe. I like to light a candle to Yamanja, so she may have guided light as she goes through the tunnels of the unknown. I like to pour libations for Obakala, the man in white, represented by my father's spirit, Robert Jenkins, Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I say, oh, yeah, carry the wind, I say. I pour libations to the west, and I say, oh, yeah, pick the wind up and carry it as you go, I say. I pour libations to the north, and I say, oh, yeah, carry the wind with you, I say. I pour libations to the west, and I say, Ashe. I like to call on the ancestors from the east, that those ancestors that are traveling in the night, whose names we might not yet know, those names who have gone forgotten, that we have never known, we call those names back, and the unbeknowing names that are traveling through the lagoon, that are traveling to the middle passage, we call all of those ancestors back into position as they position themselves within our households today, as they complete that ever-ending circle. Allow us to climb over your backs, ancestors, so that we might stand up erect and not prostrate ourselves. Allow us to be in a position to call forth spirit today, as we call forth spirit from all direction. May that soul man stand up, and may he come forward. Every spirit that is alive within our ancestors, that good spirit, that sweet-smelling spirit, may that spirit come back and reside with us. No unknown spirits that might be corrupted, we call forth those spirits that can be utilized, the spirits that can be present here today, that we may tap into their ninth ether. As we tap into their ninth ether, even in the coil of their hair, those very coils of their hair reside the antennas for the ether to be reconnected back to our higher self, back to the Godhead, that Godhead will have energy that will be perpetrated with frequency. May the frequency reign throughout our homes, throughout our lives. May that frequency of melanin allow us to tap into the cesspool of the melanin, that we might enrich ourselves, that we might ignite ourselves, that we might be combustible fire, that we are not consumed by all fire, but we are the fire. Allow us, Father, to stand in your presence today, unbeknowing to us that we can be combustible by your fire and your greatness. Father, allow us to stand in your presence today, and may the ancestors complete the circle. We call out Shekes Diop. We like to call on our personal ancestors, Clara Mae Jenkins, Robert Jenkins. I call Esalie Pope, Tommy Pete Harvey. I call Mary Lou Hawkins. I call Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey. I call Eugene Lilly, Marvin Jenkins. I call out Robert Jenkins, Robert Jr. Jenkins. I call out the name of Tom Harvey. I call out all these ancestors, and may they be present here today and accounted for, and may they allow us to complete the circle. Now that the house is in order, we say amen. And ladies and gentlemen, you are to call in your ancestors. And don't forget, you would be a damn fool if you refuse to call on your ancestors, because they know the way to heaven. They're the closest thing to God that you'll ever get. And there's no other known force out there that has been with God and back other than your ancestors. So because they have your vested interest, you ought to make an investment in them. But don't be shy. This is really a spiritual thing, not a black thing, a spiritual thing. Caucasians know this better than you know it. They know it's very important to reconnect back to spirit. And they're always seeking the soul man. How can they become more spiritual? How can they become more at peace with themselves? Now, because you've got the blessing, African American, and you think you are the soul man, don't think that you can have the Godhead in you slumbered in sleep and be anesthetized and never awaken. That's right. It's possible. You can have the soul man within you who is slumbered in his sleep and anesthetized. And because you have not pressed that Godhead forward within you, he can lay dormant or she can lay dormant. So now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's answer a few questions here. Now, on the billboard, it asks quite a few questions. How and what is the soul man? And how can you determine what the soul man is? And who has a soul? Now, James Brown put it quite bluntly. I got souls. Now, he also talks about there was once a time when you could see him do the James Brown. He would exemplify what soul was. One thing, for example, he indicated. Now, this is not my philosophy. I'm just going based on what James said. Don't get all entangled with me. Now, my non-Melanite family, please don't get upset with me what I'm about to say. He was telling you that he had soul, and when he could demonstrate his soul was when he was at his best, and that was when he was dancing. Now, it's talked about in small conversations and circles of people. Once again, that's that tribal effect that's going on. And white folks got them a tribe, too. Now, I've already made that plain to you. It's not just black folks walking around here with a tribe. Caucasian people started tribes long before black folks even knew there was one. And they were the ones that started the little gangs, and they presented themselves in a tribal form, and wherever they went, they traveled with their tribe. So they had to consult the tribe first on what is soul, and do we have soul? And when they begin to see people like James Brown said, there was once a time that when you saw me do the James Brown, then you knew I had soul. So what he was trying to tell the whole human race is that my soul is in my dance. Now, there was an untold story or off-cuff joke where white folks used to think that black folks had the special ability to dance. No matter where they were supposed to buck and grind and dance because they had soul. Now, I think they went a little beyond the definition of soul. Soul does not depict itself to a limitation such as just mobility and dancing. It goes beyond that. And I want to tell you that, my non-Melanite friends, it goes beyond the dancing. It goes to the level of being able to see. Now, I'm using the term seeing. I want you to understand what seeing means. And here's my definition for seeing. And this is according to Omi. The views and expressions does not necessarily express that of Blog Talk nor of Project 2019. These are the views of Omi. Now, the views that I'm about to discuss are in reference to what is soul. Is that is the ability to be able to see. Having your third eye open, the ability to see means knowing that you can see into the lives or into the situation of a thing that has not yet come up on you. And those who have the ability to see, they need not be governed or they need not be managed by behavior modification. Now, remember I told you that there would be a time when there would be no need for security or policemen because we would self-govern ourselves. This is the time of awakening and seeing when most men will govern their own behavior and they will become a potent human being. That's because this is a time that people are coming out of the slumber and the anesthetism of being asleep. They're now waking up knowing who they are. Now, Caucasian, please, be honest with me. You've always known that that child that you were looking for and looking for the Jesus and the coming back of Jesus, you've always known that he was in the black race. You knew this. You knew this. You were only waiting patiently to see when we were going to come to our senses and wake up. And you were waiting around to hope that you could get a view of us coming out of our slumber, recognizing that we're God. So you are experiencing a phenomenon of black women waking up now, realizing that they're God. And you're able to sit right in the midst of it and say, see, I told you that they would find out who they are. And we have found out who we are. We've known for a long, long time that soul man or soul woman did not just depict your ability to dance, but your ability to see. This is a seeing thing, to see into the lives of others and to see into your own life and to be able to see what it is that you need to become more godlike. And being able to see would cause you to stand upright and to conduct yourself in a godly manner, and no one would have to govern you. Now, since we're talking about the soul man being able to see, so what is it about seeing that others might not see? Some people might be still walking in the dark, unable to strive, unable to rise to that spiritual level and come out of the lower extremities of the animalistic stage and rise to the spiritual level. Let me liken that into an animal in Egypt. Over in Egypt, there's a sphinx. There is a lion body on the head of a man. And as you look at the lion's body, you wonder, did they make a mistake? That is an analogy showing you that there is a man still trapped in the animal body at the lower extremities, but he's manifested himself to the level of the spiritual, going up the ladder of the head. It's very important that we understand that we're trapped in these bodies, and these bodies hold us trapped. And these are the things that will prevent us from being spiritual, because they're flesh and blood, which is desperately wicked, and who can know the heart? And flesh has enmity with spirit. Spirit is forever consistent and staying consistent and the same, where flesh is infallible and is changing rapidly and is inconsistent. So there's a war going on. You say, well, Omi, yes, there's a war going on. And we are fighting against our own selves. You're not at war with the outside world, or you don't have a fight or a bone to pick with the world. It's with your flesh. And the sooner you recognize this, the quicker you can get over this flesh, and the spirit man and the soul man can come forward. Those of you who have seen people who are manifesting and functioning in the spirit and are able to get through life at an ease that is abnormal for most worldly people, you tend to wonder, could they possibly be functioning at the soul man's level? A spirituality walk is different from soul man. Now, as you know, it is the soul that we want to preserve. It is the soul that we want to capture. The flesh gives way to nothing. It will perish. It will go back to the dust from where it came. However, the soul is what we want to preserve. It is what will be judged. It is what will be evaluated. That is the real you. The person in that body is not you. You can't call yourself Omi Inka because you have an outwardly appearance. The real Omi Inka is the soul man, the person who resides in the soul. Now, we have a spirituality that we have to cultivate every day. We have to develop it. And the only way you get to develop your spirituality is to utilize it, not just tucking it away. Now, when we talk about the dance part, let's go back over that. Now, some people put their heart and soul into dancing. So when you see a black man or black woman dance, they're giving all of their energy, and they're putting the energy behind it to express themselves. That's when someone says, now they got soul. Now they got soul. And the white Caucasian may say, ooh, look at the way that man is dancing, like his life depends on it. It's not about that. It's about them giving up praises to God and all that they do, exemplifying the utmost in doing this dance for God as if they are doing it for the Creator, putting their very best up front, not lousing around, not giving second-hand or second-class material. So whatever you do, it's exemplified in the manner in which you do things. You put a little soul in it, and it has a little signature buff written on it that is yours, and it comes from your category, because this is how we do it. Remember I told you that little cliche, this is how we do it? When you put soul to something, it's a signature mark, and it talks about, this is how we do it. then every time you see it, you say, uh-huh, I got it. That's that soul coming out. That soul man is coming out. Because you are doing it unto the Creator. You put that special thing on it, that all you got sort of thing. So when people see you do your dance, they know you're doing it to the glorification of God. So now you got a spin on your dance that whenever you do it, everybody know you're going to bring the house down. So they want to see you do that James Brown dance. There was a time when we all danced that way because we all felt we had a moment that the spotlight was going to be on us to demonstrate how we showed we had soul. Now, I'm going to take you down the soul train line a little bit. As you know, Black folks love the dance. That is our thing because we get to express what it is that's within us. We get to do it our way to uniquely express how we feel about all that God is because everything we do in that dance is all about the Creator. It's not about ourselves. So don't get it twisted. When you see us express ourselves on the floor, when they say, express yourself, that's when we know it's our time to express the God that lives within us. Now, I hope I got you plain and clear on that aspect of soul. So we won't get confused anymore over soul just being about dance. It's about how we throw down in the kitchen. When mothers go in the kitchen, this is our time to shine and to show the Godhead that resides within us. So we put our foot in the food, so to speak. That's what in our community, African-American communities like to put it. She's going to put her foot in those pot of greens, or she's going to put her foot in that barbecue, meaning she's going to put all of the Godhead she got into what she's doing to exemplify the God that's coming up through her to exemplify it in the way she prepares a meal, or he prepares a meal. That's a little bit of soul right there for you, because this is how we do it. Now, when it comes to singing, these are all right brain activities, not the logical side, the creativity side on the right side. We are about to sing praises. It's not about us being in Satan's choir singing. It's about us being able to dedicate our songs in a love song to God to the utmost ability that we have to give. And because we can hear an octave level higher of music than any other race of people, we hear all the way to 12 octave levels of music that no other race can hear. We hear a different tune to a different beat. This is already written. And Dr. Loyola can back me up on this for any statistics that you need to look for. They're in my book. They'll be coming out. This is not something that Omi's just talking off the top of her head. This is all documented in my book. And I interviewed Dr. Loyola Africa. He substantiated these psychological, physiological differences that are in the Melanite people. That the octave level of music is higher than anyone else, any other culture in the world, that cannot hear this octave level of music except for African Americans or Africans. Now, in hearing this music, that means we're up on a note that nobody can open but us. So when we dance, we're dancing to a beat that nobody can hear, and we're singing to a beat that nobody can hit the range. So we're giving God the highest, utmost praises and the best that we have to give when we are delivering our song. So here, there you have it in the right brain people in the area of music. Now, can all people sing that are Black? Can all African Americans dance? No. Some of them are still yet asleep. Some of them may not have all of the rhythm, but they have the capacity and capability. But just as anything else, you must exercise the gifts or you will lose them. Now, here's another thing for you. There's all kinds of cliches out there about our anatomy and the way we're built and the way we're created. The whole anatomy thing, which I won't go into today because there's not enough time for it. I will say this much on spirituality. Because our third eye is open, there's not very much you can pull over the wool of the eye of a black spiritual person who is widely awake. You might see us nodding our heads and agreement what you're saying, knowing deeply on the inside that that is a lie or you're not being truthful, but we, being polite, can easily allow you to think that we're going along with you just to get along, knowing in our psychic that you are not being truthful or what you're saying is not honestly stated. It might be stated, but not honestly stated. Just like the Bible states information, but everything in the Bible is not honestly stated. Now, I want you to understand, because your third eye is open and you're able to see, that means you have clairvoyant ability to hear as well. Those of us who have developed our spirituality, and most of us are behind and premature in developing our spirituality, we're at an infant level in some cases. That means that what happens is that the ones of us who are fully developed or on our way to being fully developed, we're consciously able to see a situation and provide a solution for it. That is why sometime in this room you hear me talk about topics that I might not ever had a chance to venture upon, but because I've allowed myself to be like an avatar to God, where God can speak to me and through me, he gives a solution. But a seer can always use the eyes of God, because remember, God resides within you. You are not capable of doing these things in your own flesh. Because you house God in your residence and he resides there, God is able to help you see with that all-seeing eye. So you see with the eyes of God, because you are becoming. At all times you're becoming God. You're becoming God. So you're seeing and collaborating with the eyes of God. As you begin to look for solutions, why do you think they want Obama in office at a time when all signals and all valves are shutting down and collapsing of a system? They feel he might have a solution. They feel he might have a connection to God, and God may collaborate with him and possibly give him directions and solutions for our country who is failing. And in most situations, when a black person is given the job to do, that's when all signals are failing. Usually, if a black person's vision is open and they're spiritual and they're awake, they can go and turn things around with God's help, of course. That's because they're fully collaborating with God, and it's not them alone, but the Godhead who cooperates with them, who they're communing with. So we're becoming spiritual, you say, only. What does a spiritual person look like? Well, you come out of the flesh. You are no longer captivated by the flesh. You no longer serve the flesh. You cannot be spiritual and smoking cigarettes. You cannot be spiritual and taking a drink every once in a while. You must remember this body that you house, the great Godhead resides there. His essence is there. He will not reside in a vessel that's not clean. So you cannot begin to say, I'm getting spiritual and want to stay on the liquor and the alcohol and drugs and barbiturates. You can't do that, because a spiritual body cannot dwell with unclean gestures in it. So as you become more spiritual, you must put off the corruptible and put on the uncorruptible. The flesh will eventually perish, but I'm talking about the soul that resides there. It must stay in a clean vessel. So it's very important that you understand that this soul man is not about dancing a jig, is not about singing a tune, it's about a lifestyle. It's about a quality of life that you choose to live. You don't live in the lower part of your basement level life. You live in the upper room, where you can have quality of life, and you don't have to deal with problems on the outside. You go inwardly. The microcosm, the macrocosm, the outer world, you go to the macrocosm to deal with the inner you, to solve those problems on the right side of your brain when you're meditating, so that when you come out of this deep meditation, you then begin to see how to walk out the solutions to that problem, because you solved them in a trance when you went into a deep, deep trance, into a trance where you were not conscious. The unconscious life is real. That is a real life that exists in the spirit. It is consistent and forever consistent and not changing. The outside world is a mirage. It is living in an illusion. It is forever more changing. So when one goes to sleep and he is in a deep, deep sleep, that is the real world when he can solve and work out solutions to your problem. That is a real reason why you need to go into a deep delta alpha sleep, so that the body can rest and begin to find solutions to the everyday problems that you encounter during this anesthetism when you are in a deep slumber and you are in a trance. Now, some folk work good in between the trance, half awake and half sleep. And most college students, like myself, we're taught to go into a trance when we want to retain and remember information. It's between two different worlds that you exist, so that you reside in between two different worlds, subconscious and unconscious, so you're able to hold information through your right side of your brain and manifest and recall that information in the natural. Those are some things that priests learn in the secret society. Now, the secret societies that exist, you have to be chosen and invited to come into these secret societies. You don't go skipping into glory on your own. You're handpicked, and you're given information that only you can hold. There's tons of information I can't even discuss with you. I can't even break bread with you. And you've noticed there's very little information I've talked to you about divinations and readings. We're going to get to a point where after I develop you well enough where I could do readings with you and divinations and help you solve some of the problems that you have. But this is not a time yet. As Jesus would say, my time has not yet come. That is not a matter for me to be discussing and opening up with you to bring me your problems, for me to divine over you and to pull out and undo and give you a solution to your problem. We've got to get more committed here in this room, and we have got to become more connected. And that's why I did the tribal thing, because eventually we will have to talk about the secret society, what it means to be in a secret society. How did I become a part of a secret society? Who chose me? Who selected me to have knowledge, to bestow knowledge upon me? And who gave me the right to call myself a priestess? And was I initiated, and how did I know that I would take a journey to be initiated? It's very important. Everyone cannot hold information. There are only a few selective ones who are chosen to be in the secret society. You have to be a rightly guided person. You have to be beyond the flesh. You have to be matriculating up the spiritual life or the ladder up to a zero. To become a zero means you are all spiritual. I'm not there yet, and a lot of you are not there yet. But every day we have to beat this old flesh down, not giving it what it wants, not serving the flesh materially, monetarily. We have got to serve the spirit. And when you serve the spirit, it's like me coming on this show every day to do a ritual. I'm serving the spirit. I'm beating the old man down and telling it, I know I got other things to tend to, but I must serve the spirit. And when you serve the spirit, you kill the flesh. It dies. Daily it dies. And you begin to look more like God. Eventually you and I are going to look more and more like God if you're up doing your rituals and you are denying your flesh on a daily basis. You begin to look more and more like God, and you don't need anyone to govern you. Gods don't need anyone to govern them. They self-govern themselves because they're rightly guided. And no one knows God's next to kin. No one knows anything about the real God that created the universe. He was alone, and none was here. We are not alone. We are fortunate enough to be in a tribal setting, and we're so fortunate to be in a tribal setting, but we have to kill the old man every day and go up the tree of the ladder and allow the tree to grow up in us. How many of you are letting the tree grow up in you now? How many of you are allowing yourself to commune and cohabitate with the Godhead who lives within you? He wants to know you. He wants to get up front and close and comfortable with you. And the only way you can press him or her forward, you have to do rituals on a daily basis, and you have to meditate on God's goodness and call God forth, because he's in you, he's in you, he's in you. Now let's get up front and close and comfortable.
Just unwind and say, hey.